Good.
Fantastic job. Absolutely.
Scott?
Yes, ma'am.
Just remember the phrase, seven less words. You heard this one.
When I first got the West Minster Church here,
Linda White had to tell me to preach longer.
So as a point of order, type question or just a question for you?
Just do a point of order if you want to. That's what we'll do. Everybody ready?
Davey's in the back.
Oh, no, Davey's here. Yeah,
no,
you're here.
Back.
Audrey's the one missing.
I'm
she's
ready.
Over.
I'm listening.
All right. Well, we're ready to move on?
Yes, sir.
Point of order, real quick. I know it's not on the agenda, and we just found out about you stepping down. Do we need to take a vote like we did previously with the three members that stepped down early back in 21, 22?
Do you want to answer that? Does the council need to officially accept Aldrin's resignation, or is her submitting it sufficient?
Well, the resignation needs to be designated as to what time. Was it before the meeting? Is it the end of today, or is it sometime in the future? That drives when the election will be established. So we think the council, whether they accept it or not, it's her resignation. So,
right.
You know, she doesn't, the council doesn't have to accept it.
Right.
She can resign and she's out. Based on whatever your election date is.
It's effective August 13th.
At 12:01 tonight, she's going to take a deep sigh.
Yep.
How's that?
Vacation.
All right, is that good, Dale?
That answers my question.
Thanks. All right. Well, we're ready to move on. Water treatment process presentation by utility director, Mr. Scott Parris.
Who's excited?
You are.
Me?
You have the float.
This is going to be real fun. Who wants to talk about Florida?
Mm. Sure. Have at it.
All right. So what I'm going to bring to you tonight is just to tell you the concerns that have come up from our folks that work with this every day. Myself, I dealt with this in the past at the Eagle Hall. Also, sorry, my voice is kind of cracking right now. But some of our staff has had some concerns about the fact that we do have fluoride that we introduced into our water supply that comes out of one. Sorry if I'm hacking a little bit. So the process of adding fluoride into the water supply was started in the 1940s. The idea was that it would help promote healthy teeth in folks that drank public water, because that their fluoride at the time was considered to be something that would strengthen the tooth enamel and overall good health for the teeth.
Sorry.
But over the last few decades, there has been some other evidence coming out that shows that that's not necessarily the case with fluoride, and there are also more sources of fluoride available to folks these days. And across the, basically across modern societies or developed societies, those folks are moving away from adding fluoride in the process because they do have concerns about what may be happening behind the scenes that is not being mentioned or has not been publicized to the public at large. Start out with what is it? Basically, it's an industrial chemical that's added into drinking water. And like I said before, the idea is to reduce cavities and promote stronger teeth. Communities are moving away from it because there are a lot of different sources now that are out there. Most toothpastes and things like that have fluoride added. There are other ways to promote healthy teeth with just better care of your teeth and better hygiene, more visits and dental checkups and routine care with that. The folks have got a better overall diet these days that also help make stronger teeth. There have been several things over the last, couple of decades where there have been legal challenges to the thought of adding fluoride in the water. RFK Jr. is one, and he's led a lawsuit over the last couple of years. Basically, he argued fluoride is a neurotoxin. And basically, what he means by that is in certain situations it can cause developmental issues in young children, basically because of the dosage. Folks use it in mixed formula. And if you think about a small child with formula, they're living on the formula, and it has the fluoride in the water that's used to mix the formula, they get a higher dosage, I guess per pound, you could say, than an adult who drinks water through the day. It has a lot more impact on the developing minds. But the District Court of California ruled in favor of the plaintiff, which is RFK, and his children's defense, saying that the EPA needs to review its fluoride policies. The EPA is appealing, but it still reviewed its policies, and they have flagged safety concerns about fluoride in public drinking water, but they still recommend it. So the EPA is aware that there are some concerns out there, but at the same time they're saying continue to put it in. They're promoting that to drinking water systems. And of course, RFK Jr. is in favor of removing it from the system, but that's not the only position. So there's an association between fluoride and the suppressed development in children. That is something that has become more apparent over the last few years. There have been some studies that have shown this. Fluoride also causes some thyroid and endocrine disruption, which can cause major issues for just normal life. And it also can attack bone. It can cause issues with bone brittleness, porosity of bones. Another issue is some folks consider this to be a medication that is given to everyone on the water system when fluoride is added because it's considered a medication. Folks could be taking the medication without being aware of it. If they're not informed, they don't have the knowledge to know they don't want it. They could remove it with certain filters, but it's not a real easy process to do. And it does have higher risk for folks over elderly and infants. And it's been proven in some more recent studies that the lower level is also capable of having issues with negative health impacts while not providing the benefit of tooth strengthening. Current fluoride level is in most systems around 0.7 parts per million, is the recommendation by EPA. And for Westminster, that costs us about $20,000 a year in chemical costs. About $5,000 a quarter, and they'll order a load of the chemical about once every quarter. So by removing it, there would be a cost savings in the budget. Sorry about that. There are several organizations, though, and public figures that are opposed to it. RFK Jr. is one that's been very vocal, especially over the last couple of years. Dr. Paul Conant leads an organization called the Fluoride Action Network, and they have a lot of information online, different studies, published results with the health impacts. And some of their studies also show that because there are multiple sources, if you use fluoridated toothbrush or toothpaste, you have fluoridated water. There's also fluoride that occurs naturally in the environment, so it can lead to higher exposure than what's anticipated or recommended by the EPA. Also, the Lancet Public Health Journal and the Environmental Working Group are both proponents of removing it from the water system, water supply, because of the negative effects. Others that are supported, the EPA, CDC, South Carolina DES, which formerly DHEC, and the American Dental Association all promote it as a healthy and safe way to promote tooth health and prevent tooth decay. And as I stated previously, the EPA has acknowledged that there are concerns and they're looking at the possible health effect, but at the same time, they're still promoting it as something that needs to be in the system. And I will say this, there's no current requirement that water systems add this. This is an optional chemical to add into the supply. Locally, the folks that we've got here, our staff, myself, Chris Todd, who's our water sewer supervisor, Josh Lee at the water plant, and our engineer, Troy Rozier, all recommend removing it from the system for health concerns, costs. I think it would be a good move for us to do. Also, in Josh's case, and he spoke to the water plant, the way they add this, it comes in as a powder, and they have to mix the powder. So they have to wear protective gear to do that, so they don't ingest the dust, because that can be a hazard for the employees as they're mixing this product to be injected into the system. So that will take that out of the process and improve their safety on the job. So you can go back to this. One of the considerations is with the fluoride, it changes the pH of the water. It changes the corrosiveness of the water, so that has to be countered with other chemicals in the system. So it kind of snowballs somewhat with the addition in the system.
Scott, can I stop you for a hot second?
Yes.
You talked about it changing some things. This is going to sound like a really petty question, but would it change the color of the water as it comes through the tap?
It would not. No, you wouldn't see any difference there.
What about taste?
No, it's a taste difference.
Is $20,000 just the fluoride, or does that include the chemicals you were talking about?
$20,000 is the fluoride itself. Okay. So, but there would be, I guess, additional cost of the other chemicals for the corrosiveness.
Okay.
The other adjustments that we would make, we could back off on some of those. Because some of those we would continue to use just at a lower dosage. So, there would be a continued or a difference there, too. Well, consideration for council. So, at the top there, we've got this. Do you have an interest in removing fluoride from the system? Or have questions or additional information on it? I can provide those for you if you've got some concerns or thoughts. Just let me know. If not, we can consider this at the next council meeting. And I think it would just be, Reagan, correct me, would that be a resolution, or what would that take to?
I believe it would be a resolution affirming.
I think that's what it would be.
Of the fluoride from water treatment process.
One thing that would be considered too would be a public hearing, just to get public input on it. Because we have Stephanie who says, no, we need to leave it in there. And I know there are other folks who have that same thought. So they recommend having a public hearing to get input on this. To get all sides of it.
Do you know anybody else local that's done it?
Well,
in our area?
We did about 10 years ago.
Mahalo did?
Yep. We had public hearing on both sides and no one showed up.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
This has really been on, I've studied this a whole lot for myself personally. And I've noticed there's states, like the state of Florida, isn't it true that they've removed all? Yes. And there are other states, not just communities, that are doing it.
There are states that have removed recommendations.
Okay.
That's right.
I thought that was true.
I think it's worth putting on the agenda.
What's that?
I think it's worth putting on the agenda for next month. Definitely worth talking about.
And so the reason we wanted to present it to you tonight is you have to decide whether or not we have enough process or not. And in communities where they've made this decision in the past, you may want to have the public come in and comment. So when Scott says Stephanie doesn't want it in, while Stephanie does tell us what to do at City Hall, she comes from working at the dentist office.
Exactly.
So she's coming with an informed perspective, not just, and not that she needed a performed perspective to say so, but she has a very informed perspective on it. So as you make the decision, I think it's worth your time that you've heard it tonight. Mm-hmm. We put it out into the universe through the media if they cover it, or through our Facebook to let people know you're considering it. So if they want to come and tell you they support you removing it, or they have concerns from you removing it, you're able to hear those different voices and making your consideration. We'll do whatever you want. We even talked about, do we want to have a special public input meeting at the depot to hear, or is this sufficient enough to get it started? I think with a community our size, I think starting it here, getting the word out that you're going to consider it on September 9th, if you want to have a say-so in it, come and have your say-so. You don't have to act on it that night. You can just listen. If this room fills up with half and half and you hold more time. But this is something Scott and I have talked about since he got here. It's something that Troy Rozier has talked with me about since I got here. Troy has been very much in favor of us removing it from our process. We just had to get to where we had the right footing from a staff perspective before we brought it to you. And Scott and Chris really give us that footing to be able to bring it to you and give you the best information you've got.
Set it up for next month meeting, and we have a public hearing before.
Okay.
I think that'd be good. Give the public time to input. But I've been hearing that for years, that it's just wasting money and adding chemicals that we didn't need. So.
And thank you for being so proactive about it. Like I said, I've been really thinking of studying it a lot, so I really appreciate that you put this together.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. And if anybody has questions in the meantime, just reach out. Do my best, Matt. Hey, Scott, so you have the next section. So, Mayor, if this all right, I want Scott just to stay up there. He's going to tell you some really fun news we have coming up. And now, whether anybody else thinks it's fun is a matter of opinion.
Go ahead, Scott. I know where you can get some honey. You can soothe that throat a little bit.
Yeah. All right, let's see. So this is part of your skip update, Scott.
Yes, sir. So for skip, we actually have two phases. We have phase one, phase two. And phase one is probably about 85% complete. They have struggled some on a couple of sections. Crossing Johnson Street was one of them. In fact, they had some delays because they had a hard time getting material from the rock quarry. Some breakdowns out there, but they are moving on. Progress is still going along, and they've actually, and I think Kevin may have mentioned this in the past, they've had an impact on the flows that we're sending to the sewer line.
Oh, really?
We get a weekly flow update from them. And our percentages have continued to drop as these guys have made progress. So I think it's working out well for us. With that, we are now ready to start phase two. In fact, tomorrow morning, Chris, Todd, and myself are meeting with the contractor at one of our most favorite locations. So this map is showing where we're working on skip, our phase two skip project. And the green line is what comes around from Oak Street over to 123 behind Yusuf's and the old Burger King building there. That's something we recently got some easements worked out with, got everything set up, and then got ready to go there. That one won't be too complicated. Probably would take a couple of months to get that done. Bring that up, I'll get to the right slide in a minute. But we've got about 529 feet of 8-inch line that we're replacing there. Depth from 6 to 10 feet on those lines. There will be a minor impact on Oak Street as they make a tie-in there, but that should be done within a day or so. And everything's going to be done within the existing right-of-way. So what we're going to be doing, or what the contractor will be doing, is they'll be removing the old pipe, putting new pipe in its place as they go. They'll stop the flow in the line and do a section at a time. So it will be a slower than normal process. It's the same type process that is being used to get phase one. The pipe remains in the same location, and we use the same right of way, so it does simplify that portion of it. For part two, and this is the exciting part. This is where we get out with our good contractor friends and rip up 123. We start at the best intersection in town.
Yes.
Right at Spinks there at 24. And as you can tell by the yellow line, we have to go all the way across.
Oh, okay.
So who wants to flag traffic? During school zone. School time. I got to give Fred credit. Fred's a nice guy. He said he'd help us out with some of his folks out there with some blue lines.
He likes cookies,
so. This one is, once we get out of that intersection, the rest of it won't be too terribly bad for public impact, but we're going to have to coordinate things with Fred and school district, emergency services, police, because that is a very busy intersection, and we're going to have to tie it up for a bit, because that line starting out is going to be around 10 feet. It's actually the deepest section. But once we get out of that, we'll be in the median for the most part from there on up. And what we're looking at, the money is going to let us go up to about where Sandifer's driveway is. So that's where we go with this new section. And this section is desperately needed. It will be slow going because there's about a foot of concrete in the center over top of this line. So they'll have to hammer that out, haul it out, bring back new fill as they replace the lines. But these guys are ready to go. We have not worked with them in the past, but I've heard from several folks who have said this is an excellent crew. So we're looking forward to it. I think they should, they're ready to go. We had a meeting with them last week. So they'll have traffic control and everything set up.
We're going to be able to get out of the way for the Apple Festival parade and Christmas parade and all that stuff, or we're going to be dealing with all that?
No parades this year.
There you go. All right, Dick Mangrum not here. You can say that.
I know, I missed that.
Talk to that lady, have her not print that.
Yeah, so they'll make accommodations for that.
Yeah.
In fact, I think the first section we're going to start on, if I remember correctly, is going to be the one on the back side there at Houston.
Mm.
But any kind of impact that they'll have, they'll minimize it beforehand. They'll make sure their equipment's out of the way and cleaned up the thick. So hopefully they have good weather and can move right on through with this thing. I said it's going to be a process for them in 123 because of what they got to take out to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking forward to it. We're ready for them to come in and get this going. And we've already made mention to them about school traffic there at 24 being a big issue. So they're planning for that now. Also, they're going to have to come up with, while they're in the intersection, a detour route for trucks and things like that. School buses. So they're going to make a combination.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a mess, but he's done.
And just so you're aware, we're under a very tight time constraint. This money has to be completely spent by June 2026.
Mm.
So when we met with the contractors, we talked about where there are ways to get around school traffic and the time that school is in. Well, there really is not. Mayor, more directly to your point about the parades, I don't think they're going to be up in the parade route area until well after Christmas, after that December 5th parade.
Okay.
Reagan's going to bring something else up that's going to get in the way of that in a few minutes. So the contractor has a lot of work to do in a short period of time because the regulation and the conditions of using the money came from the state. And the state got those regulations from the feds.
Yeah.
So this is RIA money. It has to be spent by then. And I believe Troy has worked with this contractor in the past. So it's going to be pretty evident that something's going on while this is going on. And then I'll just mention real quick, I think most of you know that McDonald's has bought the old Burger King and is looking at renovating. We've worked out an easement agreement with them. Their easement agreement was they wanted us to be all out of that easement off their property before they finish construction. So their construction timeline is first quarter of 26. So if you're waiting on a sausage biscuit, you're gonna have to wait a little bit longer. But I think we'll be done by the time they get here. But I wanted to tell you that that's the timing that they gave us in signing those easement documents. For that green line that you see there.
Would businesses be able to stay open?
They should.
Okay.
I mean, the way they've got this staged, part of the reason is that it's slow is it's not stopping anything. They're in essence working on a hot system.
They are.
If you call a sewer line hot, I mean, there's a lot of other adjectives that go with that, but it's gonna still be functional even as they work on it.
Okay. I have a question, and you probably already are doing this, so if you are, I'm sorry if I asked it.
No problem.
If you do a one page for our community, it shows this line, say during this, from here till about this time, this is what's happening. You know, and we can put it up in the library in different places, just so when somebody asks me, I can hand them one. I said, here's exactly what's going on, and this is about the timeline.
Kind of. Sure.
Yeah. And I know y'all probably put that on the website.
We have Reagan queued up to notify the school. We wanted to notify you first tonight, but then next is the school district, everybody that's in that area, the Spinks, Ingalls.
Like I said, I knew y'all were already on top of it.
Well,
so.
it's really just Reagan and Scott.
Okay.
They've got a good plan, but it starts with you tonight.
Right.
And then we'll do our best to get newspaper and radio coverage of it as well, so people know.
And this is a 3 to 5 month, at 3 month at best, 5 month works.
They were going to be pushing hard to finish in June of 26.
Right.
So this is more of a nine.
Once it starts, it'll be June 26.
Yeah, it's a 9 to 12 month endeavor.
Good job.
Any other questions on that section?
No. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well done.
I'll just give you another update on our Heirloom Farms and Pittsburgh Mill project. Heirloom Farms water and sewer are complete now. They just finished that. So they're going to move forward with the remainder of the development, the roads, and everything finalizing that. In Pittsburgh Mill, the sewer is in place on phase two. Now you're good. And the water construction is starting probably this week because we'll meet the contractor out there tomorrow morning just to show he wants to go over a couple things on site. So, but the sewer's been complete the last several weeks. They had it tested and it's been approved. So those projects are both moving right along. And there's potential of some others that may be upcoming in the next few months, and I'll keep you updated as those show up.
Very good.
Thank you.
Well done, sir.
Appreciate you, Scott.
And go drink some honey. All right, next up, comments from city administrator, Mr. Brunson.
You know, I give you a Horton Outdoor Rec Center update, but you drive by, you can update yourself. There's a lot going on out there. There's a lot of progress. I think you're going to ride out there one day and everything's going to be orange, and you're going to go out there the next day and everything's going to be green. Whenever they get to the point of laying that sod, it is going to transform just the color out there pretty much in the matter of a couple of days. We expect the contractor on the concession stand to start this Friday. You have an additional action item on your agenda later tonight, or later in the agenda, how long to go tonight. For the water, sewer, and electric installation, we were able to save a considerable amount of money on that concession stand by Scott and his guys going out and doing they did the trench for the water and the electric and the fiber to go in out there. You might recall that Northland Cable or Five, part of their pole attachment agreement is they're putting in free Wi-Fi for the facility. All that conduit is in, it's trenched. We're still waiting to get a timeline to start with the sewer. So those guys have done a great job that has helped hold our cost on that down. This project went from around a $1.3 million project down to under $600,000, and a lot of that was because of Scott and his guys jumping in and saying, we can do that work, we'll do it, we'll save us a lot of money. So I really appreciate Scott leading that effort, Taylor, Chris, getting out there and getting all that done. I will turn the streetscape report over to Reagan. If it's questionable news, I like for Reagan to get it. So it's double-edged news. It's good news, but again, it's going to have an impact.
Mm-hmm. Have at it, Reagan.
Thank you. Mayor, members of council, good evening. Good news. I'll give you the good news first. August 6th, a little bit less than a week ago, we received notes from the railroad that we are good to proceed with our downtown streetscape project. We have been waiting on them for about 6 to 7 months since we had our plans finalized. We made a couple of very small revisions that are minor in the grand scheme of things to accommodate them, and we are ready to proceed this week with issuing the bid for that project. We've had that ready for a couple months now, waiting for them. So they let us know last week. We met with our team, with Seaman Whiteside, managing contractors for that project, plus the Appalachia Council of Governments, the COG, because we have several grants that are funded, managed by the COG, feeding this project. So we've met with them and Seaman Whiteside, and so we have a pretty roughed in time schedule of how we expect the procurement to go. We will be posting the request for proposals this Friday, August 15th. We will host a non-mandatory pre-bid on August 28th. At City Hall, and that bid opening is scheduled for September 22nd. And those bids are set to be good for 90 days before we actually have to make an award. That means that the next time you all meet will be October 14th for your October council meeting. And we decided to leave those 3 weeks instead of doing a special call or asking you for a special call, because we're going to need time to dive into those, give you guys time to digest some of the bids that we received, and make sure we do our due diligence in selecting a contractor for it. Our goal is to have contracts executed 2 weeks later on October 28th. Through talking with our staff at the COG, contacts at the COG, South Carolina Commerce is going to have to approve the bid. Now, that's because it's managed grant, so we have to make sure it meets their requirements. They did clarify and confirm that we can have council award the bid pending their approval. Mm-hmm. So we're not waiting on one or the other. We can do them both at the same time. So while they're reviewing our apparent low bid and what council recommends, we can concurrently award those. We're not waiting one or another. If all goes well and the contracts are executed on October 28th, we're expecting construction to begin in early November. So that's our timeline. Kevin and Mr. Mayor, you mentioned that could impact some of our planned special events.
Specifically the Christmas parade.
At one point, if the railroad responded earlier, there was a chance it could have interfered with some of our potential festivals. Right. We met with Apple and Bigfoot Festival representatives. Both of them were good to talk to and just communicate up front what we had going on. Luckily, that was not going to be an impact for the festival this time. But it will most likely impact in some capacity the Christmas parade. At this time, I'll begin having those conversations with the staff, what the plans are. But we probably won't know for sure how extensive that impact will be until we select a contractor and begin pre-construction conversations with them, to figure out what's time effective or cost effective for them to stage it to the minimum impact if possible, and if not, what the alternative game plan will be for us as city staff. It's a great event that we do. I want to make sure, if we can, to minimize it and do it as well as we can here in Westminster. So that's just kind of pending and going on, but we are excited that project has started moving, excited that the railroad was able to work with us on it. That's about a $3.16 million project that we've secured funds almost entirely from outside sources. So the Appalachia Regional Commission has provided a grant for that. The Community Development Block Grant Program, both of those are federally funded. We have received some funds from the Oconee County Sea Fund for the sidewalks. and surfacing portions of that. We've also received some direct appropriations from the state as well in the last couple of years to get toward these projects. So we're excited that we're ready to get moving on pretty soon. We try our best to keep you updated with the admin report, but now we have some real concrete items to present to you all.
So
I appreciate your patience on this. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer that. We're excited. We talked very briefly about fall events and how that could impact it. We have four main events for the fall scheduled. Two of them are city-led. The Apple Festival scheduled for September 5th and 6th by the Apple Festival Committee. We're excited to have them in just a couple short weeks. I'll be here very quickly. The Bigfoot Committee will be hosting the Bigfoot Festival on October 10th and 11th. That'll also be here before we know it. And we've already been working with them and Apple Festival to make sure that we have all we need and they have all they need from us. So we're excited to work with them again. Traditionally, we've done our Buon main event in downtown Westminster on October 31st. Well, I can tell you there are hundreds, if not thousands, of kids there. It's always one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And the amount of candy that is consumed and given out in Westminster is frankly amazing. So we're very excited to host that again on October 31st. And then our Christmas parade, that first Friday in December, is December 5th. That's hosted by the city. And I said, we'll continue to monitor the progress and meet with our contractors for downtown streetscape to see how that'll impact it. And also if we need to modify our Christmas decorations, specifically the tree, if Retreat Street Park will be impacted by December, what that looks like. I don't know those answers yet, but as soon as I do, I'll bring them to you. Because I know it's all very important for us. And then also on December 5th, we have historically done an Arbor Day celebration. That's something that's we've enjoyed and really done at City Hall and with our community. So when we have details of that, we'll change it.
Done a good job with that.
We love trees.
I know.
So that's our scheduled fall events. Do you all have any questions about that?
So you got music on Main too, right?
We do have a music on Main that they've discussed in the fall. I haven't received the final confirmation on that, but I do know they're discussing that.
Very good.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I'll keep on moving if that's all right with you, Mr.
Yep.
Some more good news on Hurricane Helene. For our FEMA reimbursement funds, we've worked hard for the last couple months since the hurricane. Myself, Scott, Michael's been involved in those conversations. Taylor Price, our electric supervisor, and even Fred a little bit helped some. So we're excited for to finally see that we are working on getting those monies back to the city pretty quick. At the end of June, we received one installment, one payment of about $83,000 for debris removal, and that was distributed to the accounts, the funds from which they came from. So we're putting all those back towards the cash flow of each of the accounts that were strained as a result of the work we did during Helene. But I got news this week that we'll have approximately an expected $223,000 coming back to the city in the next couple weeks. And we are very proud of that. $65,000 is for the bridge bypass that we did on the work that Scott and Chris and his team did out there. We're glad that we're getting that back soon, as well as the mutual aid agreements that we put in place. So we had Blue Ridge come in, we had a crew from Decatur, Alabama come in and make sure that we were one of the first folks in the upstate to have power restore to our system, something we're very proud of still. And we'll receive about $158,000 just from that. So that total, we've spent an additional $223,000, give or take some, for a grand total of $306,440. That is the credit of our staff, Scott, and his team. Scott Smith provided a lot of the background information that I don't have because I wasn't in the field as much as he was. So that's great. And also, just to brag on us a little bit more, I understand we're one of the first, if not the first, city in the upstate to receive some of these funds coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very proud of that and the work that we've done. So appreciate you all and our patience as we recover from Helene. But this will be a great asset and help for our city once those are received. So we're very, very excited that's moving forward in the next couple of weeks. I know that makes Miss Ashley happy. They finally started for cash purposes. Our next item, I know I emailed you all and I've also provided an update in the admin report. In the month of July, we had an issue with our after-hours phone call service. So for us, whenever our customers, our utility customers, having issues after hours, that is supposed to be routed to an after-hours call service. We began receiving complaints the second week of July that that call service was not forwarding from our calls at the City Hall directly to that service. So they call our phone tree, they hit two, and it should direct them directly through there, almost like you would forward a transfer message on your office phone. That wasn't happening. And it was quite, it was the unfortunate that it took as long as it did. And we do apologize for that inconvenience. It was an issue in the SEGRA, our phone provider's coding, and their agreements and routing with AT&T. I'm not a phone guy. I don't know all the specifics beyond. There was essentially a switch that was buried in code they had to fix. We don't know what caused it. We do know that there are other cities and other service providers that use our after-hours call service that experience the same issue. So, once again, I do apologize, but Kylie and myself have both worked on getting that issue resolved, as well as appreciate the patience of our utility boys who have fielded those after-hours calls intermittently, in the meantime, intermediately.
I would like to express my thanks specifically to whoever answers the water and sewer after-hours call. I had to kind of get their number from someone because they were experiencing that delay, but they got out there that day.
Yeah.
So pass that along to whoever that was.
Yeah, thank you. We have great, great staff doing that. They were able to roll with punches. So appreciate your patience, and we apologize to our community for that inconvenience. And then finally, the last item that I have, the youth recreation card payment capabilities. Mr. Mayor, at some point in the last year, you asked us to look into that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some issues and concerns because you have to get cards out there, a couple things we need. We need Wi-Fi and internet capability. We need to have the software and the staff in City Hall to make sure we can manage that, as well as the startup and just finding someone who can accommodate what we need in Westminster. We had some significant challenges. Well, we had some challenges in identifying a way that we can not absorb that card fee. So after months of searching, we found a group that was recommended by Blue Ridge Bank called Bank Card. And Bank Card is a group, and they can offer something called dual pricing. So usually there's about a 3-5% card fee associated with each swipe, and there's a base fee, which is, let's just say it's 15-20 cents per swipe plus a percentage. They can do what we call dual pricing. So you're not legally allowed to charge extra for a card, but you can offer a cash discount for retail. So what we'll do is we'll actually set the cash discount amount at an even dollar amount, so $1 for a water, and then it'll be $1.04 for the charge for the card. Mm-hmm. So we're able to actually pass on that card fee. We'll absorb it and then pay it, but it's essentially passed on that fee through that. Appreciate Herb's patience. I know he's probably out there playing with the kids right now. But we appreciate Herb's patience and us doing it and council you directing us to do it because we believe it'll be a good investment for our city, especially as we look to expand our recreation tourism with the new addition of the facilities.
When's that going to be active?
So we have the paperwork in place. They haven't delivered and set it up yet. So in 2 weeks, they'll order those cards. They have some time and paperwork they have to make on their side. It will not be by the beginning of most of our fall sports, but it will be early fall. So I would estimate late September.
Basketball season, maybe.
So is that for registration fees and things like orders?
So at this time, registration will continue to be processed through City Hall. And I believe they also take, Kylie and Metro Mind, they take card payments.
Online.
Stripe, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, through Stripe. That will remain the same, or they can pay it in person at City Hall. This will be for concession and admissions.
Okay, great.
So they'll have wired in card readers for concessions and wireless ones for admissions, so if they need to stand by a gate, they can.
Okay.
The Wi-Fi is being provided through Vi. If you remember, from the last couple months, like in the last meeting, you all approved an agreement with them that allows us, that part of that incentive was them to install that Wi-Fi, and they've done, well, they've done some of our fields, so we're pretty impressed.
Yeah. David Herbie told us about a lot of losses in the concessions just because nobody has cash anymore. These people had cards, and a lot of them were coming to concession stand and just leaving, going to the store. So that's the, that was a big point for this.
So it will probably have some kinks to work out.
Yeah.
But we are excited about it and look forward to having Herbie's folks out there ready to take any form of payment that you would like to give in life. That makes her happy.
And Mayor, I'm going to run through two things real quick, conclude our admin update. The OJRSA will meet, have an ad hoc reconstitution committee that will meet Thursday at 3 p.m. at the OJRSA. We have informed you in the past that the RIA, the Rural Infrastructure Authority in Columbia, funded a new governance study for the sewer authority. The first committee has done their work and is concluded and now has been dismissed, and now the second committee is here to actually take the recommendations of the first and implement them. We will be moving on that beginning this Thursday. You can look in the admin report for the details on that. There will be impacts to our sewer system, I believe within the next 12 to 24 months, probably a variety of, or a number of decisions that you will have to make related to sewer service within the corporate limits. And then finally, he's waited for a long time. He has some snacks.
Yes.
He's ready to go. I'm going to have Chief Miller introduce our new officer, who now can take a quiz on PMPA contracts. Fred, you want to introduce your new officer?
This is Gage Morris. He can tell you about himself. He came from Anderson City. He started, how long ago?
3 years?
No.
Here.
He started July 14th. He's on his own and doing very well. So we're glad to have him.
Welcome. Thanks for sitting that long.
He's stealing them, Chief.
So tell us just a little bit about yourself, Gage, so they know a little bit about you. You live in Wahala?
I was born and raised in Wahala. I live in Mountain Rest.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was in Anderson City for about 3 years, and I just wanted to move closer to home, which has been great. Chief's great. Everybody that I work with is great. Council is nice to meet all of y'all, Mayor as well, everybody in the room. I'm blessed. I'm thankful. I love Westminster, and I'm excited to just continue in my career. I'm
glad to have you here, buddy.
Thank you.
And his uncle is, your uncle?
Robbie Morris and Emmy Morris and Derek Ritter and Morris is Emmy, she's my aunt, and Robbie Morris is my uncle.
Okay.
He's the assistant principal at the high school, Wahala. So a lot of people know me from Robbie.
Yeah.
And you run a gym.
I do. It's family owned. It was handed down to me in 2019. It's Total Fitness in West Union.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay. So,
we used to be members there.
Nice.
You know we need one here, too, right?
Do you remember what it used to be?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, we had a little hole in the wall in Wahala.
Yeah.
The one right there on East North Avenue.
Yeah.
And we just joined them both and got that place, which is, it's been awesome. We've been there for about 6 years now. So I'm thankful that it was handed down to me through family. But law enforcement career is my calling.
Yeah.
This is what I love to do.
Good to have you, buddy. Thank you for being here.
Thank you
for being patient tonight, because you've sat through a lot.
Feel free to hang out anytime.
I appreciate it.
Fred says I don't want to get paid.
Mayor, that concludes our report.
All right. Thank you, Fred. All right, move on to the consent agenda. Do we have a motion?
Second.
Any questions, concerns, or discussions? Call for vote.
Audrey?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Gina?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dan?
Yes, ma'am.
Next, item four, consideration second reading ordinance 08122502. Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Mayor, I think you said item number four. You should be on item number two. Items one through four.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. Yes. That's my fault, the way I typed mine up. New business. Item five, considered first reading ordinance 99-2025-01. Do we have a motion?
Motion to be considered this ordinance.
Second.
Motion second. All right, for discussion. You got anything?
I'm going to let. Do you want any staff update? If you do, regular.
Does anybody need an update? Everybody aware of this one? I'm going to give my opinion on this. I've talked with Kevin about it. I really appreciate Kevin's opinion on it. I'm for annexation. I've voted on all of them so far, but this is 40 acres of farmland. I don't see the benefit to the city to annex in farmland. I think we appreciate it as farmland and leave it at that. And if a developer does buy the property, we have an option to annex it at that time. I just don't see the benefit of it, and it did not come as a recommendation from the Planning Commission. So that's just my opinion. I want to share that before we make a vote on it. If anybody else has anything to discuss on it, the floor is open.
So their covenant was signed as a terms and conditions of the utility extension policy, so there is, there are two residential dwelling units on that property. One, Mr. Standard, I believe, lives in, and the other he rents. When the renter changed, they had to change the service. So when they, to change that service, they have to come in and sign the covenant to continue service. And so the Mr. Standards did not come in and say, we would like to annex it proactively. It was signed through that covenant process. Staff's position is that once we receive those annexation covenants, we bring it to you to execute them, because the council passed an ordinance saying that you wanted to increase the tax base within the corporate limits. You have two ways of doing that. One is by increasing the value of the existing property, and two is by adding new properties as they come in. This property, and there's one that hinges on this one too.
Yes, sir.
This property, I think, is appropriate to annex. We have the,
rural residential.
So we have the rural residential zoning designation that allows for that to stay principally used as a farm. The other is there is another property beyond this one that if you annex this one, you're able to annex the other one. If you don't annex this one, you can't annex the other. We would like to be able to bring Orchard Park School into the corporate limits with these. That would allow us to do that. We've had some discussions with the school district to do it. I believe that they are favorable to do that. So as we look at all that we're doing, so when you look at the recreation that we're doing, police and fire, those things are funded through property taxes. And in order to increase the amount of property taxes that we receive each year, like I said, you have two ways of doing that. You increase the value of the existing property, which we see a lot of happening, and the other is to add more property to the corporate limits, which is what this would do.
I'm sorry, I was looking at the signature for the annexation permit. Can you go back to how this property came to have a utility service agreement change?
There was a change in the renter on property.
So it's
rented. And what's it currently zoned as?
It's not zoned. It's not
zoned at all. But we get an RR.
there's one house in the middle of about a 40-acre hayfield. And there again, I mean, when we agreed to do this annexation covenant, you know, we had the understanding the council would vote yea or nay on it. It's not automatic. We have to vote to do it. Under the recitals, it states in there that the city, the annexation into the city is or may become appropriate. We have the option. You know, that's something we have to decide. I understand how Kevin feels about it. I do get that, but I'm not for annexing farm property. So.
Well, just my opinion is that when we look at it, that we will finally be able to annex Orchard Park Elementary. You know, that has been a sore spot so long for Westminster, that elementary school is built outside by city limits, and it. That's where all my questions come from. So.
And how is the sewer system, and with this annexation?
The sewer, I believe, stops short of the property, and they currently use septic tanks on that property.
But now, if they want to,
then we can extend it into.
We can?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we have any benefit from annexing the school in? Other than, what's that? What's the benefit to the city?
Well, when you look at the residential area that surrounds the school,
right.
Any of those that we have covenants on or would gain a covenant on, we could move toward annexing. Right now, the school is provided electric service with Blue Ridge Electric Co-op. So we would allow Blue Ridge to continue to serve Orchard Park because you have the right to say that you want to serve it if you want to with electric. I believe the school district has a strong preference that it stay with Blue Ridge, which is fine. We would begin to receive franchise fees from the service of that electric service to the school and any other telecommunications that may happen. So when you start to look at the overall footprint, so there's no taxable value to annexing the school, but there are the other benefits that come with it. We've not had an issue where police has been needed at Orchard Park, but should they have something there, while Fred and his team could certainly respond, it's the county's jurisdiction at this point. It's not the city's jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of reasons that I'd be happy to talk to you offline. Obviously, that's a very good idea for our police department to have jurisdiction on that school site.
Mm-hmm.
If we had jurisdiction on that, would it fall under just like Westminster Middle or West Oak Middle?
Yes.
With a county SRO in, or will we be
providing an SRO? The school district pays for their own SROs, and those SROs are paid to the sheriff, or are contracted through the sheriff's office. They do not contract with the local municipal law enforcement.
Okay.
And I think it works well that way, because then you have one entity providing those SROs across the county, and it's got probably a better service than if each city were doing it and the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Call for a vote, please.
So I want to ask a question before I vote.
All right.
So voting yes means I do want it to be annexed,
correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And there's
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
No, ma'am.
Dale?
No.
Audrey?
Yes.
All right, move on to item 6. Consider first reading ordinance 09-09-2025-02. Do we have a motion?
Take a motion.
Okay. This Hobson Street, this is the one right behind
is the
Orchard
one
Park.
Is, beyond that.
Yep. Any questions, comments?
I think the commission recommended it.
Call for a vote.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Roger?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Item 7, consider first reading ordinance 09-09-2025-03. Do we have a motion on this one?
Second.
Motion second. Kevin?
Yeah, Mayor, I'm going to defer this one to Reagan.
Yes, sir. Mayor and Council, there are some property owners at the parcel behind the apartments on Lucky Street, that's 215 Lucky, who have asked to rezone a parcel behind the kind of the side and behind the property from R20, which is our residential 20 district, to residential multifamily, to allow for additional apartment or townhouse-like buildings at 215 Lucky Street. We do find, and the Planning Commission concurred, that the plan multifamily units would support the Westminster Comprehensive Plan, aligned with the use of an adjacent property and promote additional infill development within the city. And if you wanted to refer to plans, those begin on page 60 of your agenda. If you want to see some potential renderings, the application, and a proposed site plan, those are available to you within your agenda. They did not attend tonight. They did attend the Planning Commission meeting and answer all the questions. If you would so like, I'll be happy to ask them to come to second reading if you'd like to.
Nope.
We recommend approval.
Any questions, comments? Call for vote.
Judy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yep.
David?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
All right, item 8, consider resolution 08-12-2025-01. Resolution approves addenda to the City of Westminster Personnel Policy Handbook overtime and callback pay for utility crews and death in the line of duty policies. Do we have a motion?
Second.
All right, Mr. Brunson, you can clear us up.
Now, one of the things that I believe that you tasked Fred with when you hired him as a police chief was to increase the professionalism of the police department. And I think we could all see lots of efforts that Fred has made towards doing that. He is also working to get the police department accredited. And there comes with that sometimes grant money and certainly some increased professional standards. And as he was doing his research, we found out that we did not have a policy for something that can sometimes be a little bit difficult to talk about, but what happens in the line of death or in the line of duty death. So we rallied around Fred, helped create a policy that I think is great. Also includes bagpipes, which Reagan said he was willing to learn how to play. And I'm not joking.
I actually have a bagpipe where if you need it.
Reagan would actually
learn
how to play the
bagpipes.
We never knew.
There you go. Very good
horse. And so I believe it's important not just for Fred and accreditation with the police department, but as we put this policy together, I think we're at our best when we prepare for whatever we can prepare for, and this helps us prepare for that. While we didn't have losing employees last year, we have certainly lost employees in my tenure here, and we've lost family members of employees. As a having a policy that we can rely on, particularly in those moments when something initially happens and we're oftentimes shocked and grief-stricken, just being able to go to the paper and say, what does it say we're going to do? I believe that's immensely helpful. So that's the first part of what we're asking you to pass tonight. The second part is the utility after-hours callback policy. I believe most of you know that whenever we're on call 24/7 in terms of our electric, water, and sewer service, and if and we have staff that rotate for that on-call duty, if they get called out, whether it takes 10 minutes or 2 hours, they get paid for 2 hours when they get called out. If it takes 3 hours, of course, they get paid for 3 hours, but they have a two-hour minimum. We've had some instances where the guys have gotten called out for 10 minutes. They come back a half hour later, they get called out for 10 minutes again, and then they come back. The policy is intended that when they get called out the first time, that they are in essence on the clock for 2 hours.
Okay.
Now they clock in and clock out, because if they aren't working for us, we are not going to claim they're working for us. because of workers' comp and legal liability issues, they clock in and out. But this policy would cover that first 2 hours, whether or not they come in once or two or three times. Anything after 2 hours, they're obviously compensated at time. And like I should say, they're paid time and a half for all of this.
So, are you saying that prior to this policy being written and most likely adopted, let's say Scott gets called out for a 10-minute call at 10, his 2 hours is covered. He gets called back out for a 10-minute call at 10:30. Prior to this policy, that would have been 4 hours?
No, so there was confusion amongst the utility staff whether or not that's how it should be.
That was, yeah, okay.
My interpretation is what you have right here, as well as the supervisor's interpretation.
Sure.
But so that we're fair and clear to all the employees, we want to have it written so that they know exactly what the rules are without any input.
100. Okay. Sounds good to me.
Anything else?
All about handbook change.
Call for vote.
Ryan.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Fred?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Good catch there, Fred. Next, item 9, consider resolution 08-12-2025-02. This is the resolution making provision for the signature and adoption of the Catawba Project Power Sales Renewal Agreement and substantially the form presented and other matters related thereto. Do we have a motion?
Second.
Motion is second.
I have a PowerPoint presentation.
Let's look at it. Let's see it.
Resignation.
Useless is closed. We can't eat supper here tonight.
So you've seen the...
We saw it.
We've got you on midnight.
We heard it.
You've listened to it. You're probably tired of talking about it. But this is the resolution that we started talking about with tonight while Joel and staff recommend.
Any more discussion or questions? This is a bit. This is a biggie. So, I mean, if you got any questions, no questions.
It is big, but
no concerns.
No concerns.
50-year contract.
It's
a big one.
Some of us may not be here at the end.
Right.
Sure, you will. Everybody but Audrey. Audrey's the only one leaving. We'll be here.
I would be 92.
He's talking about the end of my.
All right, call for a vote.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Yeah.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am. Good job, council. Y'all just made probably one of the biggest votes that we'll get. It'll be discussed for the next 50 years.
Report that to Joel.
Yeah.
He just gave me a horse.
All right. Next, consideration of water, sewer, electric, and lighting expenses at the Horton Outdoor Recreation Facility. Do we have a motion?
Motion to consider.
Mayor and Council, so when you passed the bond, $4.8 million, we included electric, water, and sewer projects. And when we wrote the language, we gave some flexibility in how we would spend the money. However, we did not contemplate past that bond that we would use any of those funds on the Horton Outdoor Rec Facility. So I didn't want to presume that using those expenditures was appropriate unless you say so. We have money set aside from the state that can pay for this. If we use the bond money, then that $160,000 is freed up for us to do more of the stuff that we want to do out there. These numbers that you see here are rounded off, I think, to the nearest $1,000. The transformer was exactly $25,000, but the water and sewer are rounded off. Like I said, Scott and his group took this from being, I think the proposal was for it to be close to $300,000 for these activities. They worked it out at $160,000. We'll pay it. It's just a matter of, are you comfortable with us paying it from that bond? it fits within the language of the bond covenants that we can, they are allowable expenses if you approve them to be spent. I would recommend that you do that, but however, if you're not comfortable, we will use those other funds.
You're recommending using the bond?
Yes.
So the yes vote is to?
Is to use the bond.
Okay. Sorry, attention's going to
change. Anything else? Any questions? Call for a vote.
Audrey?
Yes.
Sandy?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, that's what I want to use utility money for.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And again, we're very blessed with our city employees.
Yes, we are.
We are. Those guys have done, I can brag on them for a lot of things, and while Reagan is setting this up for Fred, I certainly will brag on them for doing work that we could have paid a lot more for contractors to do. And they had to fit it in their regular schedule. They still answered outage calls and cut on cutoffs and did all their other work while they did this. And I give Scott a lot of credit for managing that with our guys.
I got to go out there and watch them down in the ditch too. They were all down in there just to go in there. It was good. All right, next. Not another presentation, Fred. Come on. Come on. You picked a bad night for a presentation.
It's a marathon. No He's
got a long ride home.
Will you just manage that for Fred?
I will. Yeah,
I have confidence in a lot of other things he does.
We're going to spend 20 minutes trying to figure this machine out.
He can't talk in advance of the screen.
Oh, Lord.
All right, Fred.
I just want to see pictures of that Kubota. That's what I want to see pictures of.
Oh, we got it.
Do it. Let's do it.
Ride in the Christmas parade.
Man. I've been waiting all night for this one. Let's go.
Well, Mayor and Council, thank y'all for allowing me to do this presentation. Like Kevin stole my thunder, as far as, you know, there's a couple things we got going on at the police department. If some of y'all don't know by now, we are officially a 24-hour man department. Gage, the reason why I had to send him home, because he's had to be back at 6 in the morning. Second, like you said before, I have started the accreditation process. It's very long and tedious. It's 28 chapters, and I'm on chapter 2.
You got it.
So,
I'm believing you.
It's going to be a while. But the best thing is, I didn't know, when I first came here, we was part of a opioid task force. It's a countywide task force that's put on by Coney County. It's all the municipalities, I think the fire department, EMS is involved as well. Well, I never knew exactly what it entailed. You know, previous administration, coming in, didn't know about it. I knew we went to meetings, but I didn't know what it entailed. So when Captain Harrison came before he retired, he goes to the meeting, all right? And one thing about me, I'm very passionate. I want to help our community. I said I was going to try to make this the best in the state, and that's what I was trying to do. And I told him, I said, we having a repeat customers, as I call them. We do the same thing. It's always over the same thing. We go out to them. We take them to jail, but are we willing to help them? I said, we need to find something that we can come up with to basically help the customers that's basically suffering from some kind of opioid addiction. So we applied for this opioid grant, and I'm happy to say, basically for those that, you know, don't know, opioid is not confined just to Oconee County. It's a global crisis.
I'm giggling at you said, for those of you that don't know.
Some of them don't know. I just wanted y'all to know. But the purpose of this grant, the reason why I wanted to get this grant and what it meant so much to me is because I want to try to provide support, treatment, and prevention on a local scale. Mm-hmm. What can we do locally to help better our community, help better serve those that's in need? Okay, that was one of the reasons. Our last, when we was going through the budget process, I requested another officer, far as training and also far as can deal with the opioid crisis. Well, this fund, if it comes about, basically May 22nd of 2022, Governor McMaster signed a settlement agreement between the state of South Carolina and the opioids manufacturers. So they allotted a whole bunch of money. They come up with a scarf board legislation with different people, and they give small communities, they give counties basically money to help with the opioid crisis that we're having. So that being said, we have been awarded $91,923. And the best part about it, it's a fully funded grant, and there's no match that the city has. So it costs the city nothing, all right? So basically what my mission or what my goal is, we want to provide educational resources to our citizens. We don't go out into the community. I'm going to sign a community officer, which will probably be Lieutenant Merck, to do education at our three schools. We want to start a field take-back program. And basically, we're going to partner up. And we had a meeting last week with the Rosa Clark Center, trying to get some more facilities involved and more help so we can get these people the help that they deserve and the help that they need. So that's some of the things that we're going to do. We're going to partner with Oconee County, Seneca, Wahala, basically to help in a smaller jurisdiction. One of the things that we requested is pill collectors, pill take back boxes. Every day I get people that says, hey, my dad or my mom passed away and I have old medication. Mm-hmm. What do you do with it?
Yeah.
Well, for our citizens, we had nothing like that. Mm-hmm. So I would have to send them to basically Oconee County Sheriff's Office, who's the only one has these pill boxes. Well, we're gonna change that. Good. So I'm gonna try to get with Senior Center, try to get with City Hall, and we're gonna have one at the police department as well. Next week. Basically, then we're gonna go out to Doc's Kitchen. You know, that's where most of our population, they go to eat, the people that's struggling. We're gonna set up shark containers out there, educational programs or brochures for them, trying to get them help. Deflection program has started at Oconee County. They're willing to come out when we go out there to try to go out and talk to these people and see if we can get them in some kind of treatment program. Basically, we're gonna, at Bigfoot Festival, we probably won't be able to do the Apple Festival this year, but we want to partner with them and set up our tents and stuff and do peel take back then. We're going to use this new baseball facility, hopefully when it's done. We'll set up some educational programs and try to reach our community then. One thing I love about this, and unfortunately we have to, is hand out Norcan on a monthly basis to try to prevent opioid overdoses, all right? So I'm passionate about that. Next slide. Me as a police chief and all of my guys at the police department, we are very committed in the quality of life of all our residents, and we want to basically serve and give back and try to help them instead of just basically throwing them in jail and they come back 2 days later. So that's why we applied for this grant. We want to make a safer community, and I just hope that y'all say it's okay for me to go ahead and implement this. So
these are the items you've determined will help you do that?
These are the items that comes in with this grant. We get another truck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we get a crew cab, diesel, what do they call them?
You get a truck and an RTV?
So, reason why we requested that, I kept the fire department in mind too. Mm. Sometimes we have to walk into these in woods to try to get somebody out. It's harder to carry them out, but if we can go have this resource to go in, so we work hand in hand with the fire department on a lot of this stuff. And we get basically the tent storage boxes, the shark containers, the materials that we need, And that's all the price breakdown of it. So there you have it, short and sweet. In order for us to change our community, we got to start somewhere.
Yep.
I just want to take a minute before we make the motion to vote on this and say that I'm proud of a lot of things that this council has done and that I've been able to be a part of. One of the things I'm most proud of is our decision to hire you, because I think that you have changed the face of our police department for the better. And my prayer is that you continue to have the support that you have very rightfully earned of the staff and the council.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Usually we try, if I say I'm going to do something, usually I do it. Like, control the speed.
Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any more discussion or questions? Call for a vote.
Sadie?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Audrey?
Up four.
All right, next, item 12, final item, presentation and consideration of acceptance of changes to the Commercial Building Improvement Grant by the Local Economic Development Corporation. Do we have a motion?
Second.
Motion is second. Go ahead, Mr. Brunson.
Mayor, members of council, I think it was at least discussed, if not corporately as you as a council, but individually from some of you with me on ways that we could spend more of our Local Development Corporation money that's building up a hefty fund balance, and that money is better being spent rather than sitting in the bank. Because when we spend that money, a minute ago I talked about the way that we increase taxable value in the city is by increasing the value of the properties,
right,
or by adding new properties. Well, the Local Development Corporation is laser focused on increasing the value of the properties with their grant program. You can see here, and I give Reagan all the credit for coming up with this structure that you see. Heretofore, our program has been $5,000 as a 50-50 match. You could spend $10,000, get up to $5,000 back in reimbursement for eligible activities. Some of those were a little bit limiting for some property owners. Reagan did a good job of making this very broad-based to include to improve a variety of properties within the city limits and the area that is covered by the Local Development Corporation, which is principally the commercial corridor of the downtown. You can see what those breakouts are, how they would impact the Local Development Corporation. Was very pleased with this breakdown. I don't think they made very many changes at all. We are unclear whether or not you're required to approve any changes they make in their policy, but me as your administrator and them as an entity or an arm of you, we all feel more comfortable if you do that rather than them just doing it unilaterally. So you see what the changes are here. You've got the policy in your packet, and staff, as well as the members of the Local Economic Development Corporation, which included Sammy Dixon, Brian Allen, Kent Dixon, and Dale Glenn.
Kent Miller.
Yeah.
Dixon.
Somewhere in my past, there's Kent Dixon. But we all recommend
it. I have two suggestions. In category one, when you're looking at planting areas, all that you had about the landscaping, I would just suggest that we not allow anything that's non-permanent, no more cross ties, timber type planting beds, because those are going to rot and break down. If we require it has to be something concrete, stone, you know, rock, something that's going to be, I think we should specify that, because the big issue we've got right now, it looks so bad, these rotten cross ties, and if somebody else does it and we pay for it, they're going to go downhill and they'll start rotting. And then, so how do y'all feel about that?
Well, I'm thinking with our, you know, what are y'all going to be using? It'd be nice if it'd be that good material that they're using.
Yeah, so at this point, this is what you have in front of you is what the LDC has passed.
Right.
If you want them to change it, you need to send it back to them, and then they'd send it back to you. Or you could just make suggestions on how they implement. So you decide how you'd like to do that. Part of what we had in mind as the staff on those landscape enhancements, I think we brought that 123 corridor plan to Council Dillon.
Yes, sir.
So the volunteer South Carolina Planning Association that came in and did a corridor study of Highway 123 on how to beautify it, mostly what they recommended was softening the hardscape. To your point, maybe planting trees, shrubbery, vegetation along Highway 123 on the private property. That's what we were attempting to help assist with this particular category. I think it would be appropriate for there to be restrictions on that money, but if you want to hard code that in, we just need to bounce it back and forth in order for it to be part of the language of that policy.
I think it would behoove us to do that. I just do. It's just somebody's going to come in there and get their feelings hurt because you don't let them put. They're going to tell you pressure treated 6x6s don't rot. They do rot.
They do,
and the car's going to bump into them, and they're going to, you know, it's just going to happen. The other thing in category two, I know you got parking lot striping, but one of the issues we've got a lot of potholes in some of the parking lots and just refinishing. If they just, I don't know if you need to add that so people can read that and realize they can do that, that we'd help cover that. But that's one of the big uglinesses we have going down Main Street.
So you're recommending that it goes back to Local Development Corp?
I would just to add that so that when somebody gets that paper and reads it, they know. You know, you can, you know, refinish your parking lot. You can patch potholes, not just restripe it. And then the hardscape, I mean, I just think that's one of the things that we really need, my opinion.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. So my suggestion would be whoever made the motion in the second be willing to accept that as an amendment and recommend it back to the LDC.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Back.
Well, that's going to be your last motion as a city council member? Okay. Is this that?
Yeah, let me just get off.
Yeah.
Of Cheerios.
All right. Call for a vote.
Call for a vote. Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Neil?
Yes, ma'am.
It looks like that's it.
I did present one to the LDC.
Is that it?
Audrey's done decided she wants
another power. No, Audrey wants a motion to adjourn.
I'll be happy to
adjourn. Who wants a second?
Second.
Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you guys for coming and staying with us this long.
Yeah.
I hope you were entertained.
I'll bring the
thank you.
Ooh, I'm sorry.